people, that she said to me when I said to her, I think I've made the biggest mistake of my life. She said, you know what? Because my mum and dad have been in business all their life in different, lots of different businesses. And she said, you will never regret any change that you make. Like everything always, she didn't say everything works out, but you'll never regret and you will never look back. As long as you're moving forward, you will never regret it. And like, yeah, a lot of respect to my mom today. Oh,
that's so good. You're close with your parents?
Very, very close with my dad and getting closer with my mum as I'm getting older. Yeah. But we never really were. She was a bit of a tomboy, so we've never really been.
Oh, that's the masculine feminine energy.
So then when I arrived, apparently, you know, I was the apple of dad's eye all of a sudden. So it was like,
How many brothers do you have?
I have three brothers.
Oh, and you're the youngest?
No, I have two older and one younger.
Oh, so you're an in-betweeny.
In the middle, yeah.
Okay.
I'm very different, all of them.
I'm going to, like, just for the quality of the podcast and the audio, because we're doing a Zoom call, I'm going to turn off the video. So now we know what we look like. And you can turn off your video as well. And I'm just going to start doing a little intro and then start our official podcast. Oh, I am so happy that you're here. Jeez.
I'm excited for you for what might happen.
Okay, so hello, everyone, and welcome to our MDC Insights, the Million Dollar Club podcast, where we get to pick an ambitious brain and how to navigate yourself on your personal journey to success and find out what success means to others. And today, our guest is the beautiful, energetic Megan Jane. Yay! Megan is a life change coach and content creator, and she helps others navigate their way through personal transformation and life change. She's a wellness and self-care advocate who is dedicated to helping fellow entrepreneurs and high performers around the world create their own meaningful life transformation. She is adamant about prioritizing self-care, and she swears by the power of daily meditation, journaling, and gratitude. I love this. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you, Monique.
Yay, we're so happy. Thank you for honoring us with your presence. You're calling in from the beautiful island of Bali.
Yes, I am. And I'm looking at some lush green gardens as we speak.
Oh, you know, actually my eldest son's grandfather is from Indonesia. So I know a little bit about the culture.
Wow.
Yes. And I absolutely love their cuisine. Seriously.
So you'll have to come visit sometime.
I will. I've never been. And I've never been. It's on my list. Like, he wants to go too. He's 20, and I kind of want to do that trip with him, you know. I've heard the people there are one of the most generous and kindest in the world. So
yes, they absolutely are. And yeah. I've been living here for 3 years, so I can make a great tour guide.
I'd love to have you as mine. Oh, my God. So, Megan, let's start off with our first question. It's one that I ask all of our guests. And I want to know, what does success mean to you and how does it show in your life?
For me, success is about freedom. Freedom is one of my highest personal values. So for me, it's about having the freedom to do whatever I want, whenever I want, and with whoever I want.
Yeah.
So many years ago, success used to be purely financial. And I learned that, I guess, from my father, who had always been in business. And it made sense that, you know, his daughter was going to follow him in the footsteps, being an entrepreneur and being business minded. And I really looked up to my dad, and I understand what him. Programming he gave me was that, you know, money and purely financial pursuits equaled success. And as I'm getting older, I just realized actually that's the context of my, I guess, my part of my definition for success.
Yeah.
I'm not driven. Doesn't mean I don't want to create absolute abundance and wealth in every area of my life.
Yeah.
But it really is about being able to live my life, being able to every day and live it in the way that I choose.
I love it. I love it because, and you know what? And you're so right because it changes over time. It changes over time through your experiences. And, you know, as we grow older, you just start to value different things. And
absolutely. And what we prioritize.
Yes, exactly. So now you live a life of conscious choice, Megan, one of purpose and calling. But, you know, these things don't just happen overnight. And I know now a bit about you. It's quite the story. I've read it. We've talked a bit. And can you please tell our listeners a little bit about your growth journey, your journey toward happiness, and what happy looks like for you?
Sure. So basically my journey began 3 years ago. I was a business owner. I had retail stores in Adelaide, Australia, in the health and fitness industry, selling sports supplements and natural remedies. And I was super passionate about that. I actually, before going into business, used to compete in fitness competitions. So that, wow. You know, I myself had lost 23 kilos and competed in fitness competitions. And I just became addicted to learning about, you know, the body and being fit and healthy and what that meant.
Yeah.
But again, I had it all back then, but, you know, that led me into my business, which I'm super grateful for. But after 5 years, I mean, I put everything into my business, and I'm sure fellow business people can understand what you do. You really sacrifice a lot, especially in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would spend Christmas Day and all holidays in my business trying to catch up on paperwork and orders and all sorts of things. And, you know, I grew so quickly. I opened up 2 stores within 12 months and they were going really well.
Mm-hmm.
But after doing that for 5 years, I reached a point of complete burnout. I was no longer going gym. I seemed to have no goals for myself. Everyone would come into my shop wanting my advice and my positivity, but they'd leave without actually, you know, without making a sale, basically.
Hmm.
My energy and, you know, times were getting tough. So I did notice a difference in how much people were spending when I first opened the stores to when I closed the shop. And so I basically got to a point of complete burnout. In mind, body and spirit, and I was suffering with depression and anxiety and got really bad. I ended up having suicidal thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in the country in Australia and we were just kind of taught to toughen up, you know, get on with it. Certainly never taught to share your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't know what I was going through, so I made the decision to close my business. Could see that the products I was selling, you know, the supermarkets were starting to sell, even though they were supposed to be products specifically for our industry. And I could forecast that things weren't going to get better. And I made the decision to close up shop, which I did. And I guess what happened afterwards is I didn't realize how tough that whole experience was going to be to
close, yeah.
You know. And then I had no purpose to get out of bed, basically. So my depression, I think, really kicked in after that. And for 4 months, I couldn't get out of bed. I was actually falling asleep at 4 a.m. in the morning after being just so exhausted from overthinking.
Yeah.
So my whole routine, you know, I had no self-care routine at all. I isolated myself from all family. I wouldn't go out. I would just make something up and just pretend to be positive.
Wow.
And I just really lived life like a hermit for 4 months till I made the decision one morning. It was a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to end the pain. I just didn't know what I couldn't put a label on it. But I just didn't feel like there was any faith or hope for a brighter future. So I felt like a little bit of burden to others around me, but they certainly wouldn't have thought of it like that. That's just how I felt. That was my mind, you know, telling me that. So yeah, this Saturday morning.
You've been like in your home for 4 months and just feeling really down and depressed. So it makes sense that, you know, that's basically the only thing that you're thinking about. Doesn't look, nothing looks good.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm used to, you know, serving. I'm used to being of purpose, and I'm used to like living my life and being busy. And, you know, I guess I kind of had pride in how much I worked, to be honest. Oh. And then when there's nothing left, like, I think I had the shock of, well, who am I really? Who am I deep down?
Yeah.
So yeah, this Saturday morning, I decided to drive to my parents' farm, and I knew that they would be out. They play bowls on a Saturday morning.
Ah.
So they're so cute. I timed that I would be up at the farm. I knew where the guns were. I knew where the bullets were.
Oh,
and
Megan.
I'd literally seen it in my head what I wanted to do. And at the point, like, I'm sure some of the listeners might be thinking, you know, that it's a very selfish thing to do. And certainly in my journey, what I've learned about depression, even anxiety, is that you're not thinking of anyone else. Like, you're almost emotions. It's not that it's selfish. You actually think you're doing the right thing by everyone. And at that point, when the pain is just so great, like, you do think that that is the only option. And then I was literally 5 minutes from home, and for 18 years I hadn't had any positive emotions or anything inside of me. This dark cloud was following me around, and then all of a sudden I was on the home stretch to the farm, and some side of me said to myself, what would you do if you gave yourself 1 year left to live?
Oh,
and
I'm getting goosebumps. Oh. Chills.
And what I've realized recently when I was doing some journaling, I always wondered what the hell happened. Like, why did that come to me at that very point in time? And I truly believe that there was a bigger purpose for me being here, like, start sharing my message.
Absolutely.
And
Megan,
that's what it was. My time was not up yet. And in that very second, I pulled the car over, and I knew I wasn't going to stay in Adelaide. I didn't want to stay surrounded by the same people who tended to bring me down. I didn't want an environment that was not serving me. I knew I had to make a massive change, an environmental change. And I don't know why I did this, but I booked a one-way ticket to Bali, and I had never been here before. So that makes it even more crazier, I think. And I closed up my shops. I sold my beachside home, and I pretty much gave everything I had away and moved to Bali, just looking for healing and hope. And I found it. I mean, it wasn't an easy journey. I cried myself to sleep for the first 3 months because I had no network, no support, no nothing. I really didn't know what I was doing. And then, the rest is history, as they say.
Oh my, what a story, Megan. It just, it just gave me, I wish you could see it, like the hairs on my arms are, it's intuition. It's your direct line to God. That's what I believe. I mean, you were sitting there, the voice of God, the universe, you know, intelligence, whatever you want to call it, spoke to you. Because
absolutely,
you do have a bigger purpose. And I think it's fabulous that you actually listened, because a lot of people don't listen, Megan, and you did.
Well, truth be known, Monique, I felt like such a failure that I couldn't even end my life. I was just I am chicken shit. I couldn't even do that. But, you know, it's all jokes aside. I'm used to joking things off. But, the truth is, it was consciousness. It was a higher energy, you know, saying that there's more to come. And, I've slowly, you know, moving, you are, what does happiness, or how do I find happiness now? For me, and we were talking about this just before, happiness now is about being very present in your life and learning to take all adversities, all challenges, as well as the positive, as opportunities gift. To learn and grow. They're gifts, absolutely.
That's exactly how I see things. It's, and it helps you lessen the stresses of everyday life. Because if you know that everything happens, you know, for your upward and forward development, it's just, it's all good all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so now you're helping people live a life of authenticity, and, you know, you help them follow their dreams. That's what you love to do now.
And yeah, I love to.
So tell me something about, because I read something, it's, you are one of South Australia's very few biosignatures modulators. What does that mean? It sounds, yeah, tell me. Well, fill me in.
Gee, you read the notes really well.
Yes, of course.
Biosignature is, this really relates to my supplement store when I was more in the fitness industry.
Yeah.
That was a method of measuring body fat, and it's a 12 points on the body, and it can tell you a lot of things. Like, for example, if you're carrying a lot of fat on your calves, on the calves, it means that you are carbohydrate, like you can't process carbohydrates very well, and you're also not getting enough sleep. So these different fat points would tell us a lot about this, but also help you, you know, change some lifestyle factors as well.
Oh, interesting.
Very interesting, yeah.
Sounds like, oh my God, like biosignature modulator. I was like, you've got to tell me what that means, because...
Yes.
Is there anything like specific, or what unique skills have helped you to create the business of your dreams? Because right now you're a coach. And
yes, it's one of the most fulfilling things I have ever done. I guess I was coaching even back in my course quite a lot, you know, for mindset and for positivity.
Of course. Yeah.
And that was about life. People weren't even coming to me really talking about their bodies, like life, you know. So I was certainly coaching back then, but now it's been, I've done a lot of training since then and a lot more experience. So I'm a neuro-linguistic programmer and timeline therapy practitioner. So that's just NLP, so really working with the mindset, working with the conscious and subconscious minds, working with limiting beliefs and, you know, negative thoughts, so really helping people smack through those. I just love helping people really become, I guess, the best version of themselves. And I know those words are really out there a lot, but it's true. Like when people understand that they have everything they need inside of them, really does change. For
what?
Me.
Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead. For you.
Right. I was just going to say what I think has helped me become successful now and turning life around is two things. And it's really funny because it's in complete opposite direction to what I've just told you, but I, you know, created a positive mental attitude. I have been working on my mindset every day when I realized, look, this is where my negative mindset, this is the power of such, you know, a negative mindset has gotten me to, you know, the depths of despair and depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
I realized that, and I went, well, I wonder what it can do if I harness to create a positive mindset.
Exactly.
I mean, I've always been around personal development and, you know, Tony Robbins and the likes, and I guess everything I'd been listening to for 20 plus years just sort of hit me, and I went, oh my God, that's what they were talking about. So I've really done, you know, I do mental work every single day. So it's having that positive mental attitude even during the tough times. And I think the other thing is just never giving up.
Yeah.
Like you just, we're in it for the long game. And I think that's something I've learned recently is that life, business, all of it, friendships, it's the long game, and you've got to treat it like that. So you just can never give up.
You can't. And it's also about trying to look at the world as a opportunity to have fun. Like look at everything as you know, try to find joy in everything. That's what I do. I mean, I was talking to one of my best friends the other day about how we keep learning and adapting. And I realized for myself a while back that some of the expectations that I had of myself, but also of others, you know, even though very admirable and noble in theory, were not really serving me. It was even unhealthy. And so my friend and I were both so surprised to learn this about ourselves. It was, how do you say that, like food for a lot of thought and discussions about how to implement this newfound knowledge into our lives. There's so much to learn still. Like, you know, try to see at the world, like try to look at the world as a place of, I don't know, like it's a library. Like a,
I think that's such a beautiful, beautiful point, Monique. And like, in all honesty, that's how I live my life day to day, is from a place of joy, from a place of peace, from a place of acceptance, from a place of alignment. But really, like, what I did learn in my journey here in Bali, like, you go down the street on your scooter and I openly give my, I mean, I've always smiled. I'm known for smiling.
Yeah.
But the Balinese really for me took it to another level. You share a smile with someone and, you know, we can't even speak the same language half the time.
Yes.
But that speaks so much volume.
I know. Like, for both,
you know, and just remaining like open and inquisitive, like be childlike. You know, that's really what I've brought much more back into my life. And even, you know, being creative, like instead of saying, you know, I have to learn this for my business or I have to do this for this, you know, it's being creative and it's like painting or it's dancing or it's doing something that would never do, you know.
And I also think it's about curiosity, you know, like wanting to know what other people think and wanting to know where that feeling comes from or why people do what they do. I mean, I'm not queer. People call me nosy, think I'm nosy, but I, you know, I say it's curiosity. And I think it's one of the most important things in life. To be curious.
Absolutely. I think it keeps you young at heart. It keeps your spirit alive. Like that's just the, I think it's a fundamental for life.
So what's the last thing you learned, both personal and business related, that really gave you some new insights?
Oh, that's a big one. I'm learning every day. And that's out of choice, but, and I'm always listening to myself and everything that's happening around me and I'm, and you know, how I process things. So for me on a personal front was, that forgiving yourself is the first key to forgiving others.
Oh, wow.
I do say a forgiveness prayer at the end of every night, but there was a situation that was coming up for me recently. And I wasn't wanting to forgive this person. I just realized it's because I hadn't forgiven myself for, I guess what had happened. So when I forgave myself for doing the best job I knew how to at that time, as were they, you know, we are all here doing the best job we can with the information and the tools we have right now. And I just, I don't know, I just forgave myself and then all of a sudden that just shifted and I was able to forgive give him very quickly.
A lot of people like look at forgiveness as like you're condoning something, like whatever that person did to you, or you know, why they, you know, the reason why they made you feel like crap, or is and if you say I forgive you, it's like you're condoning it, but that's not it. I feel like forgiveness is really letting go of the idea that the past could have been any different.
It's absolutely just, and again, there are lessons in that past as well, no matter what has happened.
Always.
And forgiving someone, I look at it as the other side of it. Not forgiving somebody is only hurting you, not them.
Exactly.
And I focus on how I want to feel. It's one of the questions I ask myself every day is, how do I want to feel today? And I know I get to make a decision how I want to feel, and I just didn't want to carry that heavy burden in my heart anymore, so I've let it go. Yeah.
Wow. So whenever I feel overwhelmed, I go quiet, right? I need to, you know, find stillness both around me and inside of me. And I always say, I go ahead and say this. I think it's from the Bible. I don't even know where it's from. But what I say is, In God, I move and breathe and have my being. It really, really calms me down within minutes because to me, it's an absolute truth. I just literally feel, I can see myself moving in space and breathing and just, you know, like being one with everything around me. So when you, Megan, when you need to refocus, and I'm sure you often have to be, like you have to focus as a businesswoman, how do you center yourself? And do you have a truth or, I don't know, maybe even a favorite quote that helps you when you need to center yourself?
How do I center myself? To be honest, I feel like that's my whole lifestyle now. I don't do one thing necessarily. So I have created a lot of rituals and practices. Okay. So on any given day, I will do things like I meditate twice a day. I have a lot of non-negotiables. And
Wow, that's so good. You prioritize yourself.
Absolutely, because I came from a place of not prioritizing myself. Mm-hmm. I know where that got me. And I wasn't, if I'm here to serve others, you know, I'm so driven to help others live a more empowered life, a happy life, you know, I can't do that unless I am that person.
Yeah, exactly.
So really the way I can. Yeah, sorry, Monique.
Sorry. I'm so enthusiastic. I keep forgetting that you're actually.
Yeah, we could talk.
Sorry. I know. Continue. No, I was just saying you have to practice what you preach. It's, you know, you can't.
Oh, absolutely.
If you, you know, you can't fake your way into being true. People sense energy. It's energy doesn't lie.
Absolutely, they do. And again, it doesn't matter. They sense energy here, like this place in, you know, Bali, and the people, they can sense it. Again, even though we can't speak the language, they feel your energy more than anything. For me, my rituals on any given day with my negotiables are meditation. I do a lot of journaling.
I love journaling.
That's my baby. I do a lot of silent work. I just sit in silence and contemplate. Mood is really, really important to me. That's another source of meditation for me. And I think, you know, connecting people on a deeper, like I've worked a lot on my relationships. That's really important to me as well. So if I'm feeling stuck, you know, I'll reach out to somebody, not necessarily to talk about my problem, but just to be connected again with someone else. Just hear how their day's going. So for me, I always feel centered, to be honest, because that's a result of my lifestyle now. There's not one thing over the other that I prioritize. It's all a priority.
I think it's fabulous. How do you keep yourself motivated on a daily basis? Like, because I can imagine that, like, even though you are centered and you have these amazing rituals and you keep doing, you know, every single day, and I totally get it. I do similar things, but I have days that I, you know, that I'm tired and that I have to really push myself to be the best version of myself. And it's like a continuance, you know, of choosing over and over again to do the things that you need to do. How do you do that if you do feel like you're not having an amazing day? Or don't you have shitty days anymore?
No. That puts it in context. I certainly have my ups and downs. We wouldn't be human if I didn't. But I think there's two things. On a personal front, what keeps me going is that when you've created rituals for yourself, and as I said before, I call them non-negotiables. I do not let my emotions override my non-negotiables. Mm. So I have to, well, not that I have to, pre-frame that in my mind, and I say, I get to go to the gym. You know, I get to do my meditation, and it's always attached to how I feel afterwards. That's what keeps me motivated, is how do I feel when I've done what I need to do for myself. And I also know very like I feel like at any point in time, things could change for me if I don't do my non-negotiables. So for me, it's paramount. For me, it's life. It gives me life to be able to say, okay, these are my non-negotiables, and, you know, I feel alive, I feel happy, I feel calm, I feel peaceful, I feel present, you know, when I do them. So I really keep that in the front of my mind day in, day out. Wow. Terms of business, yeah, I guess it's really, I'm just so driven to help others, because I just think, you know, there's this epidemic of depression, particularly there is in
Yeah.
And anxiety, and it just makes me so sad. And I think if I have some tools and insights that can help someone, I have a responsibility to share. I could not just go back to a 9-to-5 job employed by someone knowing what I know. I just can't, you know, knowing that there are people out there suffering.
Yeah, I understand. What is your, like, what is your typical client? Or not even look like, but are they women or men, or do you coach moms, or what type of?
No, I coach both men, and I basically they're usually high performers, so they might have come from a similar background to myself. You know, they're in business or corporates, or, you know, entrepreneurial. That's who I am out there for, but in all honesty, there is such a diversification in my actual clients.
Yeah.
I've had, you know, some really, you know, some 23-year-old mums come to me, like some, you know, early 20 mums come to me, and we've completely, I guess we've almost set them up for life, really changed how they might have approached their life before all the shit happens. all the way to through to, you know,
you should have CEOs. Coached me. I was 23 when I had my first child.
Oh, wow. There you go. It must have been that number. Yeah, so.
No, go
sorry,
ahead.
Monique.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, so that's who I serve. But basically anyone who, you know, really feels like they're just stuck and frustrated and can't move through what they're going through, who needs a life change, like, really, I'm there for everyone.
I love it. Is there anything you would change about some of the choices you made when you were young? I know that, you know, we have this mindset of everything that happens for a reason, and it's all good, but you know, life can throw some of the best and unexpected curveballs, and they aren't always the most fun. Like when I look at some of the choices I made, I do wish sometimes that I knew better. It would have saved me, you know, from some hurts. But then again, the hurt, molded me to the person that I am today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, when you know better, you do better. Yeah,
exactly. So I think you know my answer to
that. Yeah, I was asking the question. I was like, nah.
I genuinely would not change a thing. And there are some things that I have done. I mean, I traveled a lot. I've lived in so many different countries throughout my life. You know, I was young and naive. There's things I definitely do to a degree wish I knew better, it has absolutely set me up. Everything that I've gone through has set me up for where I am now. You know, just, yeah, I have chosen, and I chose this probably in my early 20s, that I'm not going to live a life of regret. Like, I've already decided that 20 plus years ago. So, that's my answer.
Thanks for your answer. I should have known. Oh, man, I could talk to you for hours, like, really, but we're almost at the end of our talk. It's, geez.
No.
Yeah, I know. So I want to thank you a million times over for sharing your beautiful story. I truly enjoyed my time with you, and I'm sure our listeners will too. Maybe you could share with them how and where to connect with you.
Sure. I am on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I'm on Facebook, and I am on Instagram, all under the name Megan Jayne, and that's MEGANJAYNE. Or they could email hello at meganjane.com.au.
Thank you so much, Megan.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We appreciate the love. And to all of our listeners, once again, much love and appreciation for checking in. We'll see you next week for another MDC Insight. Check out our Facebook group for more inspiration and to learn about the different ways people define success. Bye, everyone.